belongs to pop, not soda.
It's pop. Like this. Pop.
Welcome to Pop, Not Soda. And now it's time for Brian, and... Oh, damn. Enjoy the show!
How have you not seen that yet? It's been out for more than 12 hours, Brian.
I don't know.
I'm not connected.
I saw it three times this morning.
Yeah.
three times.
Before I even took a shower, I watched it three times.
I have so many questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Rogue One
trailer. Yeah, Rogue One trailer dropped
today. Just came out. Oh my God.
If you haven't seen it, you are fucking up like Brian.
Yeah. Completely. Well, maybe some people like sleep.
No. Unacceptable. Not when it comes to Star Wars. Welcome, everybody. We are Pop Not Soda. Thank you for joining us on episode 11. We are back from break, refreshed, ready to go. Except we keep forgetting to plug things in correctly today during our setup.
We're on the 11th episode, right?
Yeah, of our second season, guys.
Yay, man, on that.
You know, we still haven't.
We got to figure it out.
Dan's a little rough because he's back from Vegas.
Rough. I'm the only one that's here and game time ready.
Yeah, actually, you do. That's surprising, too, because you just came back from Vegas. Brian and I look our...
Yeah, you also came in dressed in tearaways, which is a little odd.
I was just ready. I was ready for it. We have a great episode for you today. We are going to be talking about Hardcore Harry. We're the new Harry Potter world that just opened up today at Universal Studios Hollywood. It's called Hollywood, even though it's like really...
Is it Hardcore Harry Potter World?
Hardcore Harry Potter World. I'd be down for that combination. Brian, I think you're reviewing Inside Out. Is that correct?
I am, and that is actually an animated film, not a pornographic feature. Dan?
Yeah, so that means you need to grab your tissue box for a different reason.
And then
we'll be talking about baseball season, which opening day was on Sunday.
Padres are treating us really well.
And following the theme of baseball bats, we'll be talking The Walking Dead season finale.
Mm.
But the first thing I want to get into today, guys, is WrestleMania 32.
Hey, yo.
Dudes in Speedos.
Just happened two Sundays ago now that this episode's releasing.
Good job.
Holy crap. What do we want to talk about first?
Shane McMahon. just Shane McMahon jumping off a 25-foot metal cell to a table below in front of his wife and three kids.
Yeah.
And they say 25 feet. It looks a lot higher than 25 feet.
Yeah. We were thinking about 30.
I think the table is up like plus 4 feet, so they like give and take.
Right. But man, unreal. And what's he like, 40, mid-40s?
45, because Allison lit that up.
This dude's 45 years old.
Thank you, fiance.
Yeah.
Hasn't wrestled in like 8 years.
Right, and just decides to jump three stories onto a table. Why not, right?
Yeah.
What else is he doing?
Did you see he had to clear out the money before he had to jump to?
Yeah.
That's even cooler.
The $32 bills with his face that they dropped before. That match was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was definitely different. The fact that he landed the coast-to-coast, by the way, and if you don't know what that is, he jumped from one side of the ring to the other and kicked a trash can into The Undertaker's face.
In your face.
And it was awesome. And then he proceeded to, bolt cut the Hell in the Cell? Get out.
Oh, yeah. He cut the bolts of the
and that side. Was how he got on top, 27 feet up, 20, 30 feet up, whatever, and jumped. And Undertaker rolled out. Thank God Undertaker wasn't under that, though, because if he would have landed, he would have killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Probably.
Yeah.
Like, once, we all knew he was going to die. Like, I guess he just really wanted to bring his children to... his funeral is what that was.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. The best part is we were watching it and Allison decided to join us. Or Brett and I were watching it. Allison came in and decided to watch this match. And as Shane McMahon is climbing the cage, she's like, well, he's not going to jump. Like, what's he going to do? I'm like, no, he's going to jump. She's like, no, of course he's not going to jump. That's ridiculous. Where's he going to land? He's going to fucking jump.
Have you seen a Universal Studios stunt show before? How does it end all the time?
Because they look like pussies compared to what Shane McMahon did.
Holy
because
crap.
There's no like padding around him. Like if you don't hit the table and if you don't hit it perfectly, you're severely injured.
Yeah. You're done.
Yeah.
And you saw too, I mean, if you look at after he landed too, they had to check him like three or four times just to make sure that like they got the squeeze the first time and they're like, let's get a squeeze the second time. Yeah. Hey, get a squeeze the third time. Hey, this is Vince McMahon's son. Let's get a squeeze the fourth and fifth time. Okay, let's send it back.
And then let's put him in the ring and then have him get tombstone pile driven. And then we'll pin him. We'll stretcher him out.
Yeah, yeah. I hope this isn't the end for Shane McMahon.
No, I hope he stays on TV. He's refreshing.
Very, very refreshing.
I just don't know if he's going to wrestle anymore. I feel like that's
fine. Don't wrestle.
That's a way to go out. Like you just cemented your legacy.
Yeah, and bring him. I mean, if it needs to happen, bring him out every couple years or so. If that needs to happen again or whatever, keep him live in front of the mic or whatever, and then just bring him out beyond that, and it'll be perfect.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a good idea. I do want to talk about what I think was the match of the night, which was the women's triple threat for the championship.
You thought that was the match of the night?
Yes. Go back, watch it from start to finish. That match was great.
Snoop Dogg did come out.
Yeah, I mean,
it did include Snoop Dogg. True.
But I mean, even like Charlotte's moonsault was like, we had a friend who went to Vegas with us and we got back off the flight in Vegas, got there. We turned WrestleMania on and we started watching. He's not a wrestling fan, but he saw Charlotte do a moonsault and was like, oh, holy shit. Like that was the moment. Like this was before Shane jumping off the cage. Yeah. But all throughout the night, he was like, oh, this is kind of cool. He was like, oh, the ladder match was kind of cool. But then once Charlotte does the moonsault from the top rope to the floor, he was like, oh my God, what?
Yeah. And the fact, too, that they're bringing it out, I think what's cool about it, too, is they made that whole ceremonial thing before it, too. They're retiring the Divas belt because it's not a character anymore. Women are bringing just as much heat as men inside the wrestling ring. So we need to acknowledge that. And I mean, it was cool to see a women's heavyweight championship, or it's not a women's heavyweight,
it's just a women's championship.
Yeah, yeah, world title.
But I mean, it's cool to see that they're just acknowledging. Like, I mean, it's awesome. That was a great show. What else did they have? They had Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold.
That was awesome.
They fought the New Day. The New Day, who's
fought the League of Nations.
Sorry, they fought the League of Nations.
The New Day came out,
danced with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is like I would say the newest, hottest team that's out.
I definitely thought the New Day. The Bootios. I love that.
You come out in a 20-foot box of Bootios, anybody's going
to dressed as Super Saiyans.
Yeah. Which is super deep on that level, too. And I mean, a lot of people didn't even get
tons
that.
Nerd. Xavier had all a Super Saiyan tail.
Yeah.
The ladder match was great. I love that they put Zack Ryder over. I'm sad that they took his title away 24 hours later. But I thought that was a great swerve, because why the fuck not have Zack Ryder win it?
Yeah,
Sami Zayn somehow jumping through the ladder out to the outside of the ring was ridiculous.
This was the first time, I think, in a long time you've seen a utilization of the card that you've never seen in a long time. I mean, they have a roster, a utilization of the roster. They are capitalizing on a lot of people's talents now where they haven't done that in a long time.
I think the only down spot for me for WrestleMania would be, I mean, the Battle Royal was like, but at least Baron Corbin won, which is like...
The last third was the weakest part of the whole thing.
I would say that just felt like it was thrown in.
It was.
Yeah,
you know? And that was even the Triple H show, and then they moved it. Yeah. And like, but I think the weakest part of like the main event, like the main card, not the pre-show, was the main event.
Yeah, Triple H and Roman Reigns.
They tried to tell this dramatic story, but it came off as like just slow and underpaced and...
And I know my man Brian over here was laughing the hell out of Stephanie McMahon's.
Oh yeah, her Tina Turner like
Thunderdome
outfit.
That was so fucking ridiculous. Like the intro where she's on the throne, and it zooms in, and she's got this dramatic speech. Like, give me a break. That's one step too far into the entertainment realm. Yeah. Like let's bring it back.
Yep.
You know.
Completely agree. That match sucked, by the way. There was nothing appealing about it.
No.
And I heard they muted the mics the entire time, too. Which, I mean, we would talk about later or whatever. But you can obviously tell that there is not a strong audience support for Roman Reigns being a babyface.
No.
Turn him heel. Turn him heel immediately. And that's what we're seeing, I'd say, in the next... we saw it on Monday night a little bit, this arrogance that it's coming out. It's becoming more appealing with Roman Reigns, which I hope they keep doing. SmackDown, I heard they did it too or whatever. And hopefully that's what turns Roman Reigns heel, because my God,
well,
no one's happy to see him babyface.
You've got him going up against AJ Styles, who's like the number one babyface in the world.
Yeah. And for those that don't know,
he's going to get booed.
Yeah. For those that don't know it too, by the way, babyface, good guy, heels, bad guy. So, yeah, sorry.
I will tell you, if you want to watch a wrestling show that's great from start to finish, go watch NXT TakeOver Dallas. It's half the time and none the bullshit. But speaking of some hardcore stuff, Hardcore Harry comes out on Friday,
ooh,
and I
baby.
really want to see it.
Yeah. Now, can you give a rundown on it, Dan?
Yeah, Hardcore Harry, if you've seen the trailer for it, is the first ever fully shot first-person action film. And it looks ridiculous. I have no idea how they did some of these stunts, how like the timing and like everything, the choreography that has to go into some of the things they did just in the trailer alone is why I want to see it. But yeah, it basically, screw using Keanu Reeves' blank face as wish fulfillment. You just get the first person perspective the entire movie, and it looks crazy, and sign me up.
Yeah. I don't think that the character says a word in the entire film, and it legit looks like a video game that has turned, that they made into a movie. You know, it's like 90 minutes of you playing an awesome video game, and I'm really excited. It's going to be groundbreaking, I think, because we've seen, you know, clips and short films like this before, and that's actually how this movie was inspired. The director made I think like a 5 or 6 minute short film that was very similar, obviously scaled down to a huge degree because he didn't have the budget that he has for this movie. And I'm just, yeah, I was really stoked to see this. I can't wait,
because there's been handheld for what, 15-20 years now.
Yeah,
Blair
so
Witch,
they
Blair Witch has been 20 years.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, Blair Witch.
They specially designed a GoPro that the actor wears on his head for the movie, and that's how they were able to get, you know, the
like, just to tell you, there's like this one scene where he jumps from a motorcycle onto a van, shoots some people in the van, then looks to his left. This dude on a different motorcycle throws him a grenade. He pops off the grenade, throws it in the van, jumps, and as he jumps, the van explodes and he lands on the motorcycle. All first person shot. All fucking ridiculous.
Ugh. Yeah, if you haven't seen the trailer, just go watch the trailer. Hardcore Henry, watch the trailer, and I think you're going to be thoroughly entertained and will want to go see this
movie. So I have an interesting question for you guys too. Is if it's shot in first person the entire time, how are you going to pace the audience? Because there obviously has to be, like, there's no way that you can do a 90-minute movie that is strictly first person the entire time. Is he going to get shot? What's going to happen to at least give the audience some breather room to just calm down from a first person experience?
It looks like he's going to start slow.
Go into a coma?
Looks like he's going to start slow. Okay. He's, yeah, definitely under some medical treatment where he's gained some, like, sort of prosthetic, like, badassery, like,
like the $6 million man.
Yeah, definitely.
He's
looks like that's what's
better,
going
yeah.
on.
But do you think that people can legitimately survive that type of
steady cam? Oh, I think people are
going to
vomit all over
yeah,
the place.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. This is going to be like a hardcore experience.
I'm so
for,
happy I don't get
motion
sickness.
Yeah,
it's Hardcore
yeah.
Henry, bro. Of course it's going to
be
hardcore.
I mean, it's going to be a...
This movie's not going to be for the faint of heart or stomach.
Yeah, unless they've figured out how to pace it properly, it's going to be...
I definitely get what you're saying. Like, yeah. There needs to be breaks in action, and there needs to be, like, I think
him
the
falling
hardest
asleep
part
for at least like 10 seconds or something, yeah. Like just to like give people a time to relax their eyes.
I think the hardest part is going to be if the character has no dialogue. How do you advance conversation? Like, how do you put together a storyline in which this character is interacting with people but never says a word?
Yeah,
I think that would be difficult, because at least like when you're in like a video game, there's a voice, yeah. Or there's like subtitles.
Hopefully they shoot him in the first 15 minutes and there's like, hey, sorry man, you lost the way to the will to speak,
took
so
that shotgun blast in your vocal cords
and
so.
You can't talk for the rest of the movie, so yeah, let's go on from now.
I definitely agree with your pacing
Something has to happen.
Yeah,
yeah, something has to happen to make this thing like at least breathable for the mass public.
Yeah, speaking of the mass public, they went fucking nuts today in L.A.
Whoa, baby. And we're talking about another Harry rather.
Yeah. Harry motherfucking
Harry Potter.
Woo, baby.
Finally, the West Coast.
As I'm looking at the fucking Hogwarts Express.
Yeah.
That's right. We have it in the
studio. The School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
We have all aboard the Hogwarts Express.
Really want some butterbeer right
and
now.
And we have Hogsmeade. Go and visit Hogsmeade, too, by the way.
Yeah, Brett and Allison, screw them, have already been to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter in Orlando.
Which is legit, by the way, but we're bringing that up because...
Other than Brett's family, the only good thing in Florida.
Yeah, kind of true. Yeah. So, but Wizarding World of Harry Potter opened up in Universal Studios today.
Wait, it's called the Wizarding World?
Yeah, Wizarding World.
Wizarding
fuck
World
else would
of
it be
Harry
called?
Potter, dude.
Wizarding. Wizarding.
Yeah,
wizarding.
Say that five times.
Wizarding.
World of Harry Potter.
World of Harry Potter. If I say that five times.
WWHP, bro.
Okay. Interesting. Hashtag. I was just clarifying.
Yeah. But it opened today, right?
Yeah. People lost their shit.
Yeah. And I mean it.
Did they find it?
No, they haven't.
It's a massive it's lost still and found it.
Yeah.
Disneyland.
That's actually what the smog in LA is. It's just all the shit people have lost.
Mm. Yeah.
That's why it's extra smoggy today.
But they have quite a few rides there. I think they have
Gringotts, right?
Yeah, they have Gringotts. I think they have the Harry Potter castle there too.
Is that the one that was making people sit too, speaking of Hardcore Harry?
Yeah, actually,
like,
yeah.
It's too
I saw it two months ago, actually. They play tested it with like a bunch of the employees and they got sick after it. So hopefully they've figure that out, since I don't think they'd release it to the general public before they tuned
I played Roller Coaster. I played Roller Coaster Tycoon. I definitely made people vomit on purpose,
and that costs a lot of money to clean up at the end of the day.
Yeah, it was kind
of
bullshit. I had to pay for like
it really
janitors.
Sinks your business. You can't open up another theme park on
no
that. Yeah, so but I mean Harry Potter opened up. They're going to be selling wands. When are you going to go up, Dan?
When are you going to go buy
I'm
your
probably
wand?
Going up in a month, actually, for our friend's birthday.
And Dan, what school do you belong to? If
oh,
you
mean what house?
Fun? Yeah,
I took that. What house? I took that quiz today, and it's goddamn Gryffindor.
Ooh,
yeah. What do you know about that?
Just brave and loyal, and all the good.
I'm pretty sure Brian going to USD is either Slytherin or Ravenclaw.
Yeah, Brian, how about you, man?
don't really know how to answer that question.
Brian would be a Slytherin, I think.
Slytherin?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brett's a Hufflepuff pass.
Fuck your fucking face. Fuck your face. That school doesn't count.
Do they face fuck in that house?
Hopefully. No, you know what I heard? Universal Studios Hollywood actually counted Hufflepuff out of the entire Harry Potter experience, which is more appeasing for the Harry Potter fans.
Hufflepuff, huh?
But yeah.
Maybe we should take
today.
A break and go.
Dan, you're going to see it soon. Brian, you got any interest in seeing it soon?
No.
Yeah. I think we're going to go up soon. Allison's very interested in it. But
when they build a Star Wars land,
like that's like 2019.
Then I'll venture up there.
Yeah,
you know
that's
Disneyland, right? You know that's a completely different part of Southern California.
We're talking Universal Studios.
Oh, they built this shit at Universal Studios.
Yeah. Which is interesting, too, by the way, because Brian, I think why Brian's a little bit confused, which was why I was confused, too.
I take back the Ravenclaw
No,
comment.
But how do you get it? No, because Six Flags has always been Warner Brothers' product. How does Universal get a Warner Brothers' product? Why wouldn't Harry Potter World be in Six Flags? That's what I've always wondered at the end of the day. So, it begs the question how these big theme parks get these licenses for... I don't know. You know.
That's an interesting question.
It.
But growing up in the LA area, when I think of Six Flags, I just think of gangs.
But so. It's Warner Brothers.
Gangs?
Yeah, it's a shit ton of gang activity.
Oh, Valencia?
Flags. Yeah.
Hardcore gangs.
Yeah.
I think that was the first theme park that I actually experienced a metal detector through.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Huh.
There's a whole reason why you got in free with a can of Coke.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because
I used to go to that shit all the time. I never...
Yeah, made sense, you crypt. All right, so we are going to take a break right now. We're going to come back. We've got Brian's movie review. We're going to talk some very, very sad Padres baseball and the Walking Dead season finale. So stay tuned.
What's cracking, cuz? Hey, ladies and germs. Brian here, and we once again have my homeless movie review. This week, keeping steady on that Oscar tip, I'm going to be talking about Inside Out, winner of Best Animated Feature Film. I don't know if that's the exact title, but, you know, go pound sand, Academy, if it isn't. So this film, Inside Out, animated, like I said, if you are not familiar with this movie, it basically takes place in the head of a young girl who is uprooted from her home in the Midwest, I believe Minnesota to be exact, and then her and her parents manifest destiny out west to San Francisco. I don't know why I said it like that. Just felt like it. So they go to San Francisco. Dad gets a new job. And going back, the movie basically takes place in her head. So she's got several emotions that are in her head. A lot of stars that are voicing these emotions. Amy Poehler from SNL and Parks and Rec plays Joy, like the main character. Bill Hader's in it. Louis Black, Mindy Kaling, Phyllis from The Office, whose actual name is Phyllis in real life, IRL. And then you have, you know, a handful of other stars that you would definitely know by face recognition. Diane Lane, I believe, plays the mom as well. So star-studded cast, and, you know, like all Pixar films, meant for kids, but, you know, brings the heat for adults as well. And this movie I thought was really interesting because it focuses a lot on your memories as a kid and how that is going to shape the rest of your life. So it's like really deep level psychology that they're commenting on, but done in like a really fun and like cute way, you know, like Pixar can do. And that part was really interesting for me as well. There's a lot of just like real emotion in this movie. Like, it's a kid who moves cities, doesn't have any friends, going through a lot of real emotions, and like how her parents are reacting to it. What's pretty cool about the movie is it'll occasionally like jump into another character's head and show those emotions. Like, they're the same emotions in all the characters, but they're, you know, obviously different based on the character who you got the microscope into. They even do it with pets too, which is kind of funny. One of my favorite parts. But another great Pixar movie. Definitely one that I would recommend watching, even if you are a 31-year-old single male who is part chauvinist, part sports fan. You know, it might entertain you.
Tugs at the heart.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely some tear-jerking scenes. Again, you're going to need some tissues for this film. Maybe not for your original thought with a title like Inside Out. You might be sorely mistaken, or not so sorely mistaken. It's a good motion picture. Entertaining, moving, heartfelt, real, and obviously, you know, funny. You get a few chuckles. So for Inside Out, I am giving it 4 out of 5 quarters. Very well done film, and, you know, Pixar, keep up the good work. I know you need my input and motivation to continue to do that. And who else could use a little motivation right now? The floundering San Diego Padres, who have yet to score a run. I haven't checked the score tonight.
They're off.
Holy crap.
Oh, they're off tonight and they start tomorrow. Losing. Yes. So they're
taking a breather.
Yeah.
They called it.
Still have not scored a run, technically, although they did score a run last night that somehow...
They're just as effective at scoring runs on their day offs than they are as when they're actually playing.
Right.
Go Padres.
Yeah. God. Baseball season's bad. And there's a few storylines to start off with, even though it's only the first week.
Yeah, what's up?
You've got Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper taking on the baseball alumni by wearing a Make Baseball Fun Again hat that is just shooting the shit when he talks about how baseball isn't fun because of all the old people, and old people need to stop caring about it, like old players. Because they say that, you know, baseball's not great anymore, and that baseball isn't fun anymore, and that the new players don't respect the game like they should. And, of course, Bryce Harper was like, that's a clown statement, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm torn on how Bryce Harper.
I'm not torn because all these guys who want to talk about it's not great were taking steroids and amphetamines.
That's very true. Yeah, that's very true. And Bryce Harper is making the sport appealing again for an organization that's
been... And fuck Bryce Harper. I don't give a shit what he says.
Yeah.
Why don't you go hair flip somewhere else? Like, granted, the kid can play ball, no doubt about it. He might be the best hitter around right now, but like he's the guy's got no respect. I still think he's a fucking clown question. So I don't really care what Bryce Harper has to say about much of anything, unless you're telling me about your swing and how you're, you know, turning on that curveball or that inside fastball. Just stop talking.
So you're saying that you possibly like Trout more than Bryce Harper?
Yeah, I would say that.
I think that's what the debate is.
He does
is,
eat
right?
at my favorite restaurant, Subway.
You didn't bring that over tonight, by the way.
Thank God. Another storyline. This is actually from today, and it's kind of related to baseball. But the ESPN, I guess you'd call him a personality, because I don't know how much like reporting he really does anymore. But Monty Jones.
He's the closest to a wrestling character on ESPN.
Well, he's on Dan Le Batard's show.
He does like Around the Horn. He'll fill in for like First Take, and he'll fill in for like Pardon the Interruption.
Do people look to him at his journalism or at his opinion on current events?
Well, I think he has moved. Like, he started as a sports journalist.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think he has moved into that. Yeah, where he's a personality, territory. where he's, it's what does Bomani Jones think about this situation?
Absolutely.
Like, it's more like that feature opinion columnist.
Yep,
sort right. of deal.
Yeah.
He was on ESPN today and wore a Cleveland Indians style shirt with a mascot in their writing. And instead of the usual red-faced Indian mascot, it was a white guy. And the team name, instead of saying Indians, said Caucasians. And I loved it.
White people.
I want to know where he got it from. Walmart?
Yeah, I want one.
Yeah,
well,
you think Walmart's selling
this? No, Walmart's got the other type of shirt.
What's the other type of shirt?
We won't go there, Dan. We will not go there, Dan.
But you have to go into Walmart to find out.
My favorite thing about wearing this shirt is all the people get upset about it because then they don't understand life.
Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's... Yeah. I mean, make your statement how you want, but... Bomani Jones knew the territory he was getting into.
Oh, yeah. He definitely knew he was going to get flagged, and he knew it was going to be controversial. Yeah. And he was like, good.
Yeah. Well, I think he was, I hope he was going to use this as a way to illustrate the hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy.
That's what he talked about.
The whole situation.
He talked about if this shirt upsets you, then you should do a lot of introspection on why it upsets you. And then how is that okay that we use terms like Redskins and Indians still? Yeah. And I think it's a very valid argument. I think it was a very valid way to do it, too.
Yeah, I just think there might have been a better person to do it than Bomani Jones.
You don't want Stephen A. Smith doing it.
Oh, fuck no.
You don't want Skip Bayless doing it.
No, but I'm just trying to think of who a
Chris
better
Bouchard.
Who a better like legitimate.
You're just naming every black guy on ESPN right now.
I named Skip Bayless and Chris Bouchard.
Skip Bayless knows he's black on the inside.
No.
Yeah.
You don't want Michelle Beadle wearing it?
I'm not trying to... I don't know who I could come up with as a legitimate journalist. What I'm trying to say is I wish a more legitimate journalist would have made a statement like that than a personality where at some point it's skeptical where you can see the motivation, I think, at that point.
Oh, no. If you know Bomani Jones, it's all...
That's how it's been from the very get-go, though.
Yeah.
So
he's very much on that side of sports, and very much has called out the Redskins and the Indians for a while and other racial biases in sports.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it wasn't out of character. When I saw it, I was like, oh, Bomani would do that.
Mm. Yeah. As a character, not a journalist.
Well, that's just who he is. Yeah. As, both.
As a person.
Yeah, yeah. 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 As a person. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Other storylines. Oh, if you caught the John Oliver segment on the Yankee Stadium this past week.
Ooh, baby. Those tickets.
And how the Yankee COO is a douchebag and how it's just an elitist group of people at Yankee Stadium. If you don't know what I'm talking about, John Oliver discussed new policies that are being implemented this year at the new Yankee Stadium where fans are no longer allowed to print tickets at home.
Yeah.
So you can't buy off StubHub. You can't buy, like, Ticket Trader or anything like that. Everything has to come from the stadium.
It's trying to eliminate the scalpers in what it was, in the hopes of preserving the crowd.
Yeah, that was his argument.
That gets those that affords those seats.
Yeah,
all the time.
The CEO was like, "Yeah, the people who tend to print tickets at home are an unsavory crowd, and shouldn't really are people who we don't want in the stadium because they bother other attendees."
Oh, so he doesn't want poor people.
Yeah,
at the stadium.
So John Oliver goes in on him, and then for this entire week, John Oliver has bought two tickets right behind home plate and given them away to people. But the only catch is you have to dress like you do not belong, is what he said.
So I think we had left shark and right shark.
Yeah, you had left and right shark.
And then
opening day for the Yankees after he got postponed was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It was Raphael and Michelangelo.
Yep.
Yeah, I love it because they're right behind home plate. And if you, like, what he talks about is a lot of the people who sit in the seats that he was referring to, like, right, those, like, lower bots, like, behind home plate, they don't buy those seats. Companies buy those seats and give them to their employees. So they're not even fans.
Yeah, look at how attentive those people are behind those seats. I mean, just do yourself a favor and watch the next game where you see those people that have those seats behind the game and see how much they're paying attention to the actual shit that's happening on the field.
I just can't believe that. First of all, this is the first time I'm hearing about this, and I didn't see the John Oliver sketch, but I cannot believe this asshat said that shit out loud.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing? Like, I'm just in shock. And unless he's like finger banging the owner's daughter, I mean, you gotta imagine he's out the door. Like, there's no recovery from this.
Well, when you think about it too, the scalping, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it's a shitty industry to belong to, but I mean, at the end of the day, the scalping industry fulfills the tickets that aren't being filled by the people that are wanting to attend the games. So
yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I've bought tickets on
StubHub. So why the hell would you? Why the hell would you shade the scalpers that are then gonna make your sport appear more popular on television or anything like that? Like, it's a completely asinine approach to, yeah, doing any sort of marketing.
Why would you ever disallow people from printing tickets at their home? Like, that makes things so much easier. It's just convenient. It's so much more convenient. I don't got to stand in line and buy a ticket. If I can just, you know, walk in with it in hand.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that guy should be the president or CEO of the baseball team.
Postal Service that's delivering the season tickets.
Yeah.
Every week. Caucasians.
Yeah. Caucasians. Every day. He seems like he would fit in there. But not least, the Padres are the first team in MLB history to start the season 3 games, 3 scoreless outings.
Well,
27 straight scoreless innings.
The home opener was the biggest shutout loss ever on opening day.
Was it 15 runs or 16 runs?
15-0.
Okay. I just started counting my fingers after
right,
got
exactly.
To a
after
point,
after
like,
they
yeah,
passed 10, it's just like, oh, well,
it doesn't matter.
Right. You know, and honestly, I wasn't expecting a win against Clayton Kershaw.
Were you expecting a hit, though? A couple hits?
Yeah.
More than a couple hits?
I mean,
there's a dude named True Story that has more home runs than, like, the Padres had hits through their first two games.
Yeah. This dude's got, like, does he have 4 home runs?
4 or 5.
His name is True Story.
True Story.
No, we got to look this up.
True Story.
Research team. Holy
true story.
Shit.
True Story.
Oh, my God.
It's True Story.
True Story. I got to look this up.
Shortstop, Colorado Rockies. True Story.
Holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, and they look awful. They look terrible. I feel like my Rets softball team could maybe get more hits than the Padres.
Well, first off, Mark McGwire is the Padres' new hitting coach.
No, he's not. That is not true. He's the bench coach. He's not the hitting coach. If he were the hitting coach, then maybe they would have scored a run.
Who's the hitting coach?
No idea.
Okay.
But I just know it might still be Dave McGwire.
Greg Maddux?
it's actually the bat boy. The way that they've been swinging the bats...
We've promoted Bobby Brown from the bat boy back in the day, too.
The Padres have more strikeouts in their first three games than Tony Gwynn had in his worst season in the 90s.
That is so terrible. The problem is, too, is baseball is not the easiest sport to watch on TV anyway.
It's not the easiest sport to watch when you're losing either.
Well, I mean, yeah, that exponentiates the factor, but... When you watch it on TV and your team is losing by 10, I mean, they are doing so bad right now. What is the motivation to get us to actually watch this shit? Do they acquire somebody?
I don't think it's going to matter at this point.
I mean, and it's funny because they're only three games into 162 games.
Serious question then. When do we see Groupon deals or Living Social deals for Padres tickets? Week? Two?
That happened like last month.
Did it?
Yeah. I got a deal.
We're setting the precedent.
Did you get some hot dogs and sodas in there?
No. I got a $19 ticket to go to the Padres game with two free drinks.
What are they selling the prediction to the postseason? $40? Hey, we'll give you seats just in case we make it. Here's $40.
The worst thing.
They're just collecting loose change.
The worst thing about them sucking so bad this year is, of course, it would be the year when they have the All-Star game.
Oh, I know, right? They're not gonna have a single player there.
Like the only representative from the Padres going to be at the All-Star game is Petco Park.
It's gonna get to the point where they do have a change collecting machine at the ticket vendor, and you're just gonna be able to dump like a pocket full of change and be like, fuck it, you're welcome in.
Yeah. Tickets will be cheaper than an Uber to get to the stadium.
Yeah, for sure. Your Uber ride to the stadium is going to be
so
more.
So I think
than
we're getting on to like the you know you're a Padres fan win.
Yes, we...
I think we've done a segment like this a few times. But I feel like we could do a quick round right now.
Oh, we absolutely can. Yeah,
sure.
All right. Yeah. I can start it off.
Yeah, you want to start
it off? Yeah. You know you're a Padres fan win. Saturday morning T-ball games include more runs scored than the home schedule for the Padres.
True story. Wish he was on the Padres. You know you're a Padres fan when you are three games into the season and are looking to trade back for Matt Bush.
All right. You know you're a Padres fan when you... pretend to understand the psychology of Khalil Green, the shortstop that we lost.
You know you're a Padres fan when the only sort of injections your players are doing are lethal.
Oh. You know you're a Padres fan when nobody knows your manager and he looks like he is 23 years old.
Andy Green.
That's his name. I guarantee you didn't know that.
You know you're a Padres fan when you mention the names Andujar Cedeño and Archie Sinfrocco and people go, who are they? They played sports?
I don't even get that one.
There we are.
Archie Sinfrocco. Love that name.
You know you're a Padres fan when... the beer content. Oh, Brett owes everyone listening a free drink.
Yep, that's what we do right there. Damn it,
you
everybody.
You find Brett out at a bar, you go, hey, your phone went off during the episode. That's a free drink.
Find
it will
me out
buy
at the
you.
Bar.
Bottom shelf.
For that.
Nothing on the top shelf. He's getting married. Just bottom shelf.
Damn it.
You know you're a Padres fan when the craft beer in the stadium has a higher batting average than. Or a higher on base percentage. We'll go with that. Higher on base percentage than the team.
Okay. What's the beer's on-base percentage?
It's some beers are 10%. Some beers are 6.5%. You see where I was going with this joke, Brian?
Yep. Okay.
It's so much funnier when I have to explain it.
Right. Absolutely. Man. You know you're a Padres fan when the opposing pitcher has more home runs than your entire team combined. And that happened. The Dodgers pitcher, this freaking kid out of Japan, hit a home run. I think it was the second at bat. Yep.
All right, I got a final one, and then we're gonna throw one more round around. You know you're a Padres fan when you go, "Hey, guess what Steve Finley did for our team?" And they're like, "Yeah, guess what Steve Finley did for our team?"
Man, you're just throwing some retro players out
there. The niche section of diehard Padre fan listeners that are listening right now are going to love Brett's. They're going to love them because I don't know them, they must be that good.
Steve Finley? Do you not remember Steve Finley?
You know you're a Padres fan when?
When you remember when Steve Finley did roids and hit 40 bombs.
Dude.
And stole 40 bases.
Oh. No.
Dodgers?
I just wasn't funny to me because I'm not a Padres fan.
Well, who is these days?
You know you're a Padres fan when Ray Rice has more hits than the team.
Oh! And we will wrap up on that one.
Oof.
Little Big League coming in for the count right there.
Oh, wait. I got one.
Go for it.
You know you're a Padres fan when Negan has more good contact with a bat than your entire lineup.
Oh, and he's just more swagger than all the Padres.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Negan.
Yeah, if you don't know who Negan is, you have not been watching The Walking Dead.
It's the season finale. It came out. Jeffrey Dean Morgan was cast
Papa
as
Winchester.
Negan. It took him an entire season to show up in the final episode.
Yeah, which is how it should be done.
Yep, absolutely.
They great teased, reveal.
But stupid ending.
But God.
And okay,
frustrating ending.
Okay, so we don't want to spoil it too much for people that may have not seen it.
Yeah, or if you haven't read the comments.
But we can
so
talk
maybe,
about
we're kind of towards the end, right? Maybe we tell them to shut
we could
it down.
we could tease a spoiler section, but before we even get to that though, I want to talk about the frustrations with Walking Dead as a series being so impulsive about killing off such great characters, yet we were teased with an ending like that. And I feel like the season's been like that for the entire season.
Yeah, I really think this was one of the, like, I think in professional wrestling, which you talked about earlier, it's one of those things where, like, the people behind the product know what the fans are expecting, and they know the fans know. They know the fans are smart. They know what's coming. And they swerve, and they give you an ending like this ending was for the season finale, and they go, got you, because you thought you were smart. You thought you knew what was coming.
But it wasn't even a swerve, though.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no finality in the finale.
That was like a pay-per-view event drawing the lights out right before the pin and going,
yep,
and we'll figure that out in the next 9 months.
Which is the first time the Walking Dead has picks up. Done that in a season finale.
I was just going to say, like, they've never shied away from showing graphically main characters dying.
So are they losing ammo with this series, I guess, is a serious question. Because when you do such a drastic tease like that, when everybody knows what has happened from the books, like, are you really, really going with nothing?
No, I just felt like the show just wanted to blue ball their viewers.
But why would you do that to such a loyal fan base, though?
I think it's twofold. I think, number one, Greg Nicotero, who directed the episode, wanted everybody to talk about, obviously, who was killed, right? I think number two, what he's doing is like, okay, and this is just my opinion, I don't know, obviously. I think this is his stamp going, okay, from here on out, like, this is a TV show. Kind of like how Game of Thrones has to take a left or right turn because George R. R. Martin still hasn't finished the books. So they kind of have to run like with their own storylines. I think this is the moment when they start to veer off and like do their own thing.
Because
in the graphic novel, there's a character that is killed and
not just killed.
Like brutally murdered.
It is.
I don't think that same character is good. Do you guys want to do a 1 minute spoiler discussion?
So, okay. So we will do that. Yeah, we'll do that right now. Ladies and gentlemen, fast forward a minute from now. We will.
I've got the stopwatch ready.
All right. So we are at 44:45. At 44:50, we're going to do a spoiler section until 45:50. So pay attention, and here it comes. Go.
So
spoiler free.
One thing, about two episodes ago, Denise, the doctor, was killed with an arrow through the back of the head and through her eye.
Dirty.
So that is a death from the comic books. But Denise is not the one that suffers that death.
Do you think that fact
is Abraham into the final death? Is the one that gets killed in that manner.
Right. Okay.
Abraham is not supposed to be alive right now. Abraham never meets Negan.
So you think Abraham's the one that gets killed by Negan?
I think that is a very good possibility that they saved his character and his death to replace Glenn because of the fact that,
Yeah.
I disagree because Greg Nicotero said whoever is killed is a beloved character, and I don't think Abraham is beloved. Shit. So I still think it's going to be Michonne. That was my guess.
5 seconds.
Yeah, we got 5 seconds. I truthfully think it's going to be Glenn. I think they've teased Glenn's death too much, and I think at the end of the day, he's going to be the one that dies. Hey, welcome back to the spoiler-free section of Walking Dead.
We went through that shit quick. Sorry for taking up like half the time.
Oh, no. No, it's totally cool. Because what I think is good about it... Well, it's not good about it. When you watch that final section, I think everybody was looking forward to seeing Negan. Just the physical presence of Negan. How did you guys feel about the physical presence of Negan? Did you guys expect what you saw?
Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed his performance, and he did such a great job of making you feel uncomfortable without being
creepy.
Yeah, well, without being like loud or abusive or, you know, really that threatening. Like, he obviously makes certain threats, but it's not in a way that we've seen with the governor. It's not a way that we've seen with, you know, the collectives that they've come across over the seasons. He's just like a really calm,
confident,
cool, yeah, collected dude. And he just goes about it like it's business. He's like, listen, you guys fucked up. You killed a bunch of my guys. I'm about to do one of you. And we're going to move on and we're going to do things my way or else we're all, you know, I'm going to shoot all of you in the face. That simple.
Yeah, I think the tough thing about Negan when you want to root for this group is that he's not unlikable. Where he has this swagger and charisma to what he does that he's interesting and he's provocative, so you want him more.
When you cast a person like Jeffrey Dean Morgan, that's exactly what you're shooting for, because he has that look to him. Because what I heard before that too, before they even cast Jeffrey Dean Morgan, they were shooting for John Hamm, and it's the same type of look where it's this like it's this calm, confident, yet very imposing figure at you could see something inside of them that could completely snap, and you do not want to be on the other side of that bat.
Yeah.
And I think that that's like such a great casting call that they did for Negan. I wish personally it would have come out a little bit sooner and that this wouldn't have been like, I guess the,
well, I think
the
it's tease. Crazy that The Walking Dead's already on season 7.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, just the way that final episode ended, Allison and I, we watched it. When they line everybody up and everything like that, you talk about, and we won't spoil anything, but it was never something we've seen before with The Walking Dead. And I think that is the biggest problem that I've had with it, is the appeal of it was somewhat of an appeal with Game of Thrones, where I've seen decades of shows before where, dude, you see people, you like Lost, people get eked out for episodes on end, and you're just waiting for these people to die. Walking Dead, Game of Thrones has been the first series that I've seen in a long time that has just full-on executed people that I'd never expected to see coming. And then that value somewhat starts diminishing when they pull this shit, and they pull it a second time in the one season, I think, with the dumpster scene. And then they do the shit again with this. It's like at some point, like, that appeal of losing people very, very quickly, that's why I watched the show.
Yeah, no, I completely agree about the dumpster scene, and that's why I don't think
That, okay.
That, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that wasn't a very annoying and just cowardly way, I think, of making that, like, because that was a mid-season finale when that happened, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I would say that the rest of the season I loved. I think this is the best
teasing
season.
The survivors up to Negan.
Since season one.
Yeah.
Teasing the survivors up to Negan's arrival.
And just the violence, the pace. I thought all of that was really well done based upon like where they are in this whole canon of, you know, the backstory, right? But yeah, I totally agree that my huge issues with the season have been like the most dramatic parts, where that it should be the opposite. Like that should be what I'm drawn to. That should be what is catapulting me into the next season and getting me excited about it. Now I'm just like waiting around thinking, and you know, everyone's obviously going to be talking about it until the premiere.
You're hanging on a hypothetical where it was always like something happened at the end of an episode and you're like, what the hell happened? We have to talk about that. Now it's like, dude, what the hell happened? What do you think happened? What do you think happened? Like, and it's causing this dialogue that's never existed with this fan base before. And I think you're really, really treading on like dangerous waters when you do that with a series like that. Like, imagine if Game of Thrones did that. Imagine if they went to execute Ned Stark, and then at the point of the axe coming up, they just cut it and they were like, coming season two.
Yeah, pissed me off so much that when I heard it ended on a cliffhanger, I didn't want to watch the episode.
Because you have a fan base that really hasn't existed in, like, I don't think a lot of these people that are watching Walking Dead have, you know, watched a lot of series before that. Like, I know a lot of people that talk about Walking Dead and never have talked about TV series before that. They watch Walking Dead for a certain appeal, and I think the certain appeal is something that has never existed across TV before without, like, Game of Thrones and things like that. And now you have a series that is playing with these tricks that TV has done decades over, and it's like,
yeah, I feel
you're gonna
like
kill yourselves.
The only show that I can think does this the right way, which is funny because Jeffrey Dean Morgan was on, is Supernatural.
Go figure. Yeah. Yeah.
And Supernatural does it the right way, in which everybody on that show that is not the two main characters has died and is going to die. Like, it's nothing they've ever had to say, but it's become very evident that all the supporting characters at some time in the series will die. And so when that happens, you know, it's gone. It's done. And I've never seen a cliffhanger like that in that show. And that's a CW show where the graphic is, like, the graphic violence is turned down. And so I wasn't expecting that. And I don't care if you swerve me, but it was so dissatisfying.
Like, a cliffhanger goes off into, like, when you think about the literal definition of a cliffhanger, it's going off into nothing. That's where they're proceeding with the series, where they're basically admitting they're like, well, we didn't know where to go.
And like, give me the red wedding.
We're going to have to figure it out in the next 5 months to then write it out and make something appealing, which then will not satisfy any viewers, because you're causing a 5 month debate where there people are going like, dude, I think it's this person. I think it was this person. I think it was this person. Well, I think it's this person. It should be this person. And then it just causes the thing, and no one's going to be happy once the final,
and I'm never,
like, once the first episode.
And I've already had like three of those discussions, and one of them being tonight, and I'm never happy having that discussion.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're not going to know for a goddamn like 6 months.
Yeah. I mean, I think the worst part about it is that they knew this was going to happen. Like, they knew the fans and the audience, even if they haven't read the graphic novel, are going to find somebody that's talking about it, are going to go online and read an article, what have you. So it's like the entire fan base knew someone was going to die at the end of the season, and to completely disappoint an entire fan base by leading, you know, having this whole season lead up to that moment, and for it just to fall flat. I just like can't understand how they could rationalize doing that in a show that's never done it before
Exactly.
Ever.
And you cannot blame the viewers, because what they've done in this entire season is done certain things that have teased the appearance of Negan.
Oh, the foreshadowing's been out of control.
The foreshadowing has been out of freaking control. So to think that, like, for the writing team or for the directing team to go, hey, man, that's completely the audience's fault. They shouldn't expect, you know, things. It's like, no, that's your fault. You were completely teasing this entire thing leading up to this. Like what you're saying, we were expecting something to happen at the very end, and now we're just staring off into darkness for 5 months, just debating what is existing on the other side. And dude, that is a very, very terrible move for Walking Dead.
And The Walking Dead has done it when they haven't had to sacrifice major, like they've done cliffhangers without having to sacrifice major plot points. Like the end of season two, they've got it on the road, the farm is fucked. The end of season three, it's the takedown of the governor. The season four is Terminus.
Interesting, like, season, where are we headed?
Like, it's always like, you don't know what's next, but you know how this season wrapped.
Yeah.
They've done it for five seasons. You thought that's what you were going to get for season six, and I don't care if it's different, but that's what I was expecting, and that's why I was frustrated.
Yeah. I feel like I just put in, like, I watched Clue, and then the last like 20 minutes just like crapped out on me, and I can never watch it now. Like, it's just like, that's how I'm feeling right now. And I get it. It's a sort of entitlement, but at the same time, dude, like, you can't expect that, like, patience with the viewers who have invested so much with the series so far. That is asinine, and that's egotistical to even think that.
Yeah, it's just a way to say,
we know it's
just like, it's like, yeah, it's like a wink. Hey, we all, like, you know, like you said earlier, Dan, it's like, yeah, we gotcha, and you're gonna just have to fucking wait for half a year, and then we'll let you know.
Well, if it makes you listeners feel better, we are not ending this episode on a cliffhanger. Brian is about to die.
Oh, what the fuck?
No, but I think that's a great place to sign off for episode 11. Back from our second break of the year.
Later.
Look forward for our NetSuite's episode. It will be just as good as this one, hopefully better. Hopefully by the time we come back on air, the Padres have scored a run.
And maybe won a game.
Yeah. Well, let's just start with scoring a run.
Yeah, we'll start small, baby steps.
And I think some of us, or if not all of us, will have seen Hardcore Harry, and we'll be able to talk about that. But in the meantime, if you miss us, feel free to follow us on Twitter. Brett is at Niece's Pieces. Brian, you won't need to follow because he'll be dead. But if you would like to pay memoriam, he is at BOwens619. Myself, I'm at Dan_Perez_. Our Pop Not Soda account is at Pop_Not Soda. Find us on Facebook, /Pop Not Soda Official. And every Monday, make sure you listen right here on iTunes or popnotsoda.podbean.com. Like it, review it, subscribe so you never miss out. And make sure you check out our mini episodes that are released during the week. So as Brett says, we will see you on the flip side.
And Brian will be here next week and many weeks to follow. Dan, you're sick in the head, bro.
Yeah, fuck
you. Negan's gotten to you, bro.
Took you like a champ.